Well, if I told you that I see something that nobody else could see, and if I told you that the angels had been talking to me, well, would you merely think me foolish? All my senses I had lost. No, I'm just lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost.
Welcome to the Voice of the Lord broadcast with Pastor Billy R. Douglas from Livermore, Kentucky. The Voice of the Lord broadcast is heard all over the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. It's our sincere prayer today that this broadcast will be an inspiration to you as we look into the Word of God for strength, encouragement, and power. And now with the Voice of the Lord broadcast, here is Pastor Billy R. Douglas.
And I just misunderstood if I'm too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I come before your throne, a begging sinner, with old Satan on my back, and he's whispering, why do you even bother asking? There's no way someone like you enter in. But I found mercy, I found grace, I found someone had already took my place. My debt was paid, my sins erased, I found victory, and I found grace. Lord, I came to that old cross, helpless and searching for the sin in my life had took control. On the edge of the cliff of destruction, just one more step and I would lose my very soul. But I found mercy, I found grace, I found someone had already took my place. My debt was paid, my sins erased, I found victory, found grace. My debt was paid, my sins erased, I found victory, and I found grace. Yes, I found victory.
Going to take me a minute to get there, but you can turn in your King James to the book of John, first chapter and the 17th verse. Going to read a verse there, but I'll be a minute before I get there. Amen. Are you thankful for God's grace this morning? You better be. Amen. Hallelujah. We better be, because without it, we would be lost. Amen. If you think you're good enough, you're in trouble. Amen. If you think you don't need God's grace, you're in trouble. You remember whenever the kids were little, most everybody in here has had kids or helped raise kids. And Brother Bruce, you'd tell them, now, if you're good, you can have a toy. If you're good, we'll go get some ice cream. Amen? Well, it don't matter how good you are. Can I preach this morning, Brother Bruce? Would that be all right? All right, I appreciate it. If you're counting on how good you are, you're in trouble. Amen? You're in trouble. Because none of us would be good enough unless we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And God's grace this morning is something that we really can't. The Bible calls it the unspeakable gift. And that word unspeakable means, and that you can write that down, 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. That word unspeakable means it's indescribable. And I believe this morning it is beyond our human capability and our mind to be able to fully describe or to understand the grace of God. We don't understand it. We don't have much of it either. Amen? Somebody does us wrong one time, and usually most people, I'm done with them. Amen? No matter how many times they tell them that they're sorry. Ain't you glad that God's not like that this morning? No matter how many times you mess up, the Bible says if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins. It tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God's grace, I believe this morning that God's mercy, because of His mercy, He allows grace. A space of grace. Amen. A time for the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts. Brother Shannon Dwyer came by the house this week and he brought me a CD to play on his dad's radio program that we air on VOTO Radio. His dad's been gone for a long time. Some of you that's been around a while might remember him. His name was Dewey Dwyer and he was on Channel 19 for years. But anyway, he brought me a CD by, and on the front of the CD, he had written the name of the sermon. And the name of the sermon was, God Owes You One Sermon. And when I read that, I thought, that's God's grace. Amen? God doesn't owe you a sermon because you're so good. God doesn't owe you a sermon because you deserve it. He owes us a sermon because in ought to honor His Word, that whosoever will come. Amen? To give an invitation, Brother Jim, to whosoever will come. That's why He allows us grace. Now, some people get one sermon. They get one opportunity to receive the Lord. The Holy Spirit deals with their heart, and then they leave this world lost if they reject God's grace. Many times, though, we know that God deals with hearts over and over and over again. Amen. Hallelujah. Even though they push away His grace, even though they push away His forgiveness. You see, grace allows us to have something we don't deserve. We deserve judgment this morning. We all deserve judgment this morning. But because of God's grace, amen. Aren't you glad that God's grace, hallelujah, brought forth a baby there in Bethlehem that was wrapped in swaddling clothes? Aren't you glad that God's grace allowed His Son to die on the old rugged cross for you and for me to allow us an opportunity not to get what we deserve, Brother Bruce, because if we get what we deserve to go to hell, amen? We deserve the judgment and the wrath of God, but God's grace gets in the way. Through His grace, because of His mercy, God allows grace to get in our way. And like I said, we can't really explain grace, but we're going to look at it this morning and we're going to see what the Word of God says about it. The scripture I told you to go to is John, the first chapter, the 17th verse. The first thing I want you to know about grace is that grace comes only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that grace comes. You can't earn it. We'll find that out in a minute. That'll be our second or third point. But the Bible says, according to John, the first chapter, the 17th verse, it says that the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came, how? By Jesus Christ. through his finished work on the cross of Calvary. That is where grace comes. All good things have to come because of what he did on the cross. Because if not for being covered in the blood, if not for the grace of God, if not for hiding behind that cross, we wouldn't get anything except for what we deserve. And what we deserve is judgment. But thank God his grace gets in our way. And this grace that I'm talking about this morning, that's indescribable, that goes beyond our human comprehension, that we cannot understand it, we cannot explain it. This grace was made possible to mankind through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. So the first thing that we know about grace is that it came by Jesus Christ. Amen? It came by Jesus Christ. The second thing that we know about God's grace, and if you want to flip over to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you can. I'm probably not going to read it. The second thing we know about God's grace is when the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh that buffeted him, and he prayed and he asked the Lord, Brother Bruce, he asked him three times to take it away. And then whenever God gave him an answer, it wasn't the answer that our flesh would have wanted to hear. We want to hear you're healed. We want to hear you're delivered. But whenever God answered the Apostle Paul, whenever he had this petition to take this thorn out of my flesh, this thing that buffets me, God's response to the Apostle Paul was, my grace is sufficient for thee. That means it's more than enough. Amen? He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then, of course, the Apostle Paul said, well, then I'll glory in my infirmity. Amen? To bring glory to the name of Jesus, I'll glory in this infirmity. He wants us to know this morning that, number one, grace came through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. He wants to know that. Wants us to know that, number two, Sister Teresa, that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what the trial, no matter how hot the fire, no matter the burden, no matter the loss, that God's grace is sufficient. It is what we need to get us through. Amen? It is what we need to get us through whatever it is we are going through. His grace is sufficient. And that don't mean it's just enough. That means it's more than enough. Amen? It's bountiful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so thankful this morning for the grace of God. Amen? For without it, I would be lost. Without it, I would have already suffered the wrath and the judgment of God. And if I hadn't, that would be my future. But because of grace, Brother Randy Swift wrote a song that says, grace came hunting me down. Hallelujah. If I could put it this way this morning, I would say that grace will go out of his way to get in your way. Amen? He will deal with the hearts of man whenever the world has given up on them, whenever their friends have given up on them, whenever the church has given up on them. God still deals with the hearts of men. Amen. I worked with some brothers, and I've told you this before. They were apostolic brothers. I just throw that in there. But they told me there was this one guy there that they had known for a long time. He had came to their church, and he had backslid. And I was trying to witness to this man, and I was trying to tell him about Jesus, and I was trying to show him the love of the Lord, and I was trying to share the word with him. And then one day I was over there in my station putting some melted rubber in a tire or something another, and these two brothers come toward me, and I thought, uh-oh. And they said, hey, brother, we just want to tell you, you better quit hanging around him. You better quit talking to him because we're praying God's judgment down on him. Amen. That's what most of the church, that's the attitude that most of the church would have with the not once, amen, with the throwbacks, with the broken ones that they think can't be fixed, amen. We're praying God's judgment down on them. I said, well, listen, brother, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to keep telling him about Jesus. I'm going to keep witnessing to him. I'm going to keep ministering to him and hopefully praying that God will save his soul, amen, instead of him facing the wrath and the judgment of God. You better be careful how you're praying the judgment down on somebody. It might backfire. Amen. Ain't you glad this morning? I know that you think that you ain't as bad as they are. You wasn't as bad as they are. In the sight of God, a sinner is going to go to hell regardless of the sin that we think is the big ones and the little ones. Unless you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're going to go to hell unless you are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I know we look down, that mankind looks down their nose at those that are hooked on drugs and those that are hooked on alcohol and those that are bound by demon spirits. But I'm telling you, if not for the grace of God getting in your way and you submitting yourself to the will of God and saying, "Oh Lord God, I'm a sinner, save me from the wrath to come." If not for that, you could live in the finest house, you could wear the finest clothes, and you'd still share the same hell that they will if they don't turn to Jesus Christ. Because being good ain't good enough. So number one, God's grace comes by way of the cross. Oh. Number two, God's grace is sufficient. It is more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. You ever told... I'd tell Reese, she'd say, "You want anything while I'm up?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll take a little bit of that on the ice cream, whatever we have. But don't give me no whole lot." She'd come back with a bowl full. And she'd say, "That enough?" I'd say, "That's more than enough." Amen? So what God's got, His grace, is more than enough this morning. Amen? It comes by way of the cross. It is all sufficient. It is more than enough. The third thing we want to look at, while you're turning to Romans 5 and 20. Romans 5 and 20 tells us the third thing that we're going to talk about for just a minute about grace. I want you for a minute, only for a second, I don't want you to dwell on it, but I want you for a minute, Sister Patty. I want you, everybody, not just Sister Patty, I want you that are in here this morning to think about the most wicked sin you could think about. What you consider the chief sin, the worst thing, the most terrible thing that somebody could do, the most terrible sin that comes to mind. And then I want you to look at this scripture with me in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. The Bible says that, "Moreover, the law entered..." Your page is turning. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin did abound, there wasn't no hope. Where sin did abound, Brother Jim Ball, grace did much more abound." Amen. Hallelujah. God's grace is bigger than whatever sin you thought about before we read that scripture. You mean, Brother Billy, that serial killer can be forgiven? You better believe it. Amen. You mean that rapist can be forgiven? You better believe it. Adolf Hitler, as evil and as wicked as he was, if he had have repented and turned to Jesus Christ in true faith believing, he could have been forgiven. Well, I don't understand that. That's what I said when I started this morning. We don't understand God's grace. Because of God's love, instead of giving us judgment, He gives us a space to repent. I have no doubt that God's Holy Spirit dealt with the heart of Adolf Hitler, and he rejected God's grace. Amen. There have been those that had did wicked and vile things and were on death row, and they would truly repent and get saved. But most of the world and most of the church wouldn't believe it because they said, "There's no way. There's no way they could have got saved." Where sin did abound, grace did much more. Grace did much more abound. Amen. I might preach twice as long this morning. We've been running on a skeleton crew around here. Amen. It looked like we got a house full this morning. Where sin did abound, that terrible thing that you just thought about, Brother Bruce, where sin did abound, God's grace was bigger. Amen. When the devil comes around saying, "Oh, Bruce, let me tell you about your sin," say, "Oh, devil, let me tell you about the grace of God." Amen. Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, grace was big enough for that, but he didn't turn to Him. He didn't turn to the Lord in repentance. He went out and committed suicide, and he shares the same hell with Adolf Hitler this morning. And he walked with grace. He talked with grace. He saw grace in flesh and blood. He saw the miracles. Sister Wanda, he saw the lives changed. and he turned away. Brother Marvin Morrow wrote a song, and it's on one of my CDs. Judas kissed the door to heaven and walked through the gate of hell. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how close he came to making heaven his home. But close ain't good enough. Amen. You better turn to God and thank him for the grace and the space of repentance that he allowed you, that he got in your way. Brother Jimbo, you wouldn't be here this morning if God hadn't got in your way. Brother Jim testifies over and over. He didn't want no church. He didn't have nothing to do with no church. He didn't want that stuff. He'd seen too much religion in his family. But thank God, God got in his way. Amen. Grace came hunting him down. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Grace came hunting him down. Hallelujah. So it comes by way of the cross. Amen. It is sufficient. It is greater than any sin. And number four, Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9 tells us the fourth thing. There's actually two things included in this. We are saved by grace, and we cannot earn grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. It is a gift of God. It is not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. You will not stand before God with a notebook of all your good deeds and say, Lord, look what I did. No, when you stand before God, God's going to look in his book and see if your name's been written down by the blood of the Lamb in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. That's what's going to get you into heaven, is the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us plainly, it comes by way of the cross, that it is more than enough. It's sufficient. It's more than enough. It is bigger than all of our sins. Amen. If we'll just turn to him in faith, believing. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith in what? Through faith in Jesus Christ, the grace giver, the one who died on the cross for us. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all of their guilty stains. Amen. So we see that we cannot earn grace. It is the gift of God. Amen. And that's how we are saved. That's Ephesians 2 and 9. Hallelujah. So we know it comes because of what Jesus Christ did. Because the grace came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God will go out of his way to get in your way. Amen. We see time and time again in God's word. You see, grace will get in your way. It'll mess up your plans. It'll change your life. Amen. It'll change your life. If we had time this morning, we would talk about the woman that went to the well in John, the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse. Where the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And it tells us that the Lord got weary and he sat down on Jacob's well. Then the story gets real interesting. Along comes a woman of Samaria, and I guarantee you most of the people in that town looked at her when they saw her walking on the street, and they probably thought, look at that hussy. Or as Tanya, when she was little, said, that fussy. She said, that old fuzzy next door, she's making noise or something, and Mama was always getting on to us because we lived in the apartments and the walls were thin. And she stomped to the steps and sat down, and Mama said something about her not making so much noise. She said, I don't care if that old fuzzy does hear me. When they saw this woman coming, yeah, she's had 5 husbands, one she's with now ain't her own. Look at that woman, she ain't good for nothing. They wouldn't have gave her the time of day. She grabs up her water pot, same days, it's the same today like it was yesterday, same as it was the day before. Oh, that's what she thought, but today would be different, amen. This woman, who the Bible doesn't say anything about her being repentative or her trying to change her life, but she picks up her water bucket and she heads to the well. When she gets there, guess who's sitting on it? Grace. Oh, Oh, hallelujah. Grace got in her way. Amen. Hallelujah. And she left that place, the Bible. Once you read the entire story, and she puts her faith in Jesus, she drops her water bucket, and she runs back into town and says, hey, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, hallelujah. Grace got in her way. Amen. And messed up her plans and changed her life. Changed her life. Amen. She went to the well. She'd been to the well every day for no telling how many days. She'd walk up there and she'd take her bucket and she'd get it and fill it. But today, Brother Bruce, grace got in her way. Amen. If we had time this morning, we could talk about the Apostle Paul. In Acts, the 9th chapter, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, and he had been overseeing the death of Christians, the troublemakers, putting them to death. And he's not on his way to church to get saved. He's not going to a street meeting. He's got him some new papers to kill some more Christians, to kill some more and murder some more of them troublemakers who are blasphemers and are against his God that he worships. He's got papers in his pocket, Brother Jim, to go to Damascus and kill him some more Christians. That was what he got up that morning thinking, I'm going to Damascus and kill some more people. On the road to Damascus, as he loaded his donkey, as he saddled his mule, he starts down the road and he has every intention of going and killing him some more Christians. And more than likely, if church folk are like they are now, some of the church folk that had heard about Saul and they knew what he had done and he had killed some of their friends, they're probably praying, God, kill him! Stop him! Send him to hell! But because of God's mercy, he allows grace to put up a roadblock on the road to Damascus. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful this morning?
Because I'm plugged into the power and I'm about to have a spell.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Lord broadcast with Pastor Billy R. Douglas from Livermore, Kentucky. If you have a prayer request, praise report, or would like to request a copy of our free monthly ministry newsletter, write to Voice of the Lord Ministries, P.O. Box 541, Livermore, Kentucky, 42352, or call 270-313-8753, or just visit our website at voiceoftheLordMinistries.com. The Voice of the Lord broadcast is totally listener-supported and made possible by your generous love gifts. Thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless and keep you. Is our prayer.
In the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost, because I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost.